go. The time is 9:32 on April 28th of 2023, and I call the meeting of the Committee on Behavior Analysts to order. This meeting is video hosted using Zoom. The public and parties on this agenda have been properly noticed of this fact and have been supplied with meeting access instructions. Ms. Malice, would you please call roll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Ms. Denton?
Present.
Dr. Stenhoff?
Here.
Dr. Davis-Wilson? I think she's muted.
Present.
Thank you. Dr. Davey?
Present.
And Dr. Raitz?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Malice. We have a nice full group with us this morning. Thank you to all of the members of the public who are here for applicants who are pursuing their licensure. It is very beneficial whenever we have you present to be able to ask questions and move through this process expeditiously and get you licensed as fast as we can. We also thank board staff, some of who are not present today, but have been able to go in and communicate with licensees on the back end to get documentation in place to prepare the reviews that committee members here are going to go through. And, there's a lot of work that goes into these meetings. So we absolutely appreciate board staff and fellow committee members for the dedication to ensuring the safe practice of behavior analysis in the state of Arizona. And so with that, we will move on to discussing the fact that the Arizona Board of Psychologist Examiners is an approved BACB, ACE continuing education provider. This means that attending a meeting of the board's committee on behavior analyst is eligible for continuing education credit for maintenance of BACB certification and for Arizona licensure renewal. To claim this credit, make note of the code words provided hourly throughout the meeting. To report the code words to the board staff for the purposes of earning continuing education credit, you will look for the link on the board's meeting page for this particular meeting, and you will report those code words. So our wonderful Ms. Malice will be giving us code words on the hour as we go through. Make sure that you note those down and stick with us throughout the duration of this meeting. Agenda item number four, we will move on to that. Agenda item number four is the approval of minutes. The approval of minutes are for March 30th through 31st. That was our really pleasant two-day meeting that I was here for one day of, so I can't complain too much. So we will go in to approve the minutes for the regular session and for the executive session. Does any member wish to offer a motion to approve these minutes?
Yeah, make a motion to approve both.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. The motion was made by Dr. Stenhoff and seconded by Dr. Davey. Is there any discussion? Okay. Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Okay, the motion carries. All right, we will go ahead and move on to agenda item number five. We're just rolling through this. Agenda item number five is the discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the investigation of possible unlicensed practice and recommendations to the board. Dr. Davis-Wilson is the lead on this. This is complaint number 23-37 against Jessica Smith and complaint number 23-38 against Atziri Nazario. Please note that a person or a representative of a person who has filed or is subject of a complaint is present today may make a brief statement up to 5 minutes to the committee when prompted by me. The committee may also have questions for the complainant or respondent after their statement. Only individuals directly involved in the complaint, which are the complainant and respondent, may address the committee and make a statement. If the committee wishes to hear from any other party, it will make its request during the case review. For everyone in attendance today, please ensure that your audio remains on mute. When prompted by the committee to speak, the complainant, respondent, and their legal representative may unmute themselves at that time. Please note that individuals in attendance who speak out without committee approval will be warned twice by the committee chair to not interrupt. And if that interruption continues past that second warning, they may be requested to be removed from the Zoom meeting and not be permitted to re-enter. So please only use initials for patients or children and the complainant. Be aware that the content of many records involved in these complaints is confidential and the content should not be discussed in a public meeting. The committee may go into executive session to discuss any confidential records or to receive confidential legal advice from the board's attorney, Jean Galvin. For those in attendance, please be aware that the chair reserves the right to change the order of the items on the agenda based on the parties present and request to speak. With all of that being said, Dr. Davis Wilson, you are the lead on these two cases listed in agenda item number 5. Will you please provide a summary of the case at 5A for the committee?
Madam Chair, since these two items are being presented essentially at the same time, I just have a disclosure that I was Ms. Nazario's her professors while she was attending her master's program. But I feel like I can hear this without prejudice.
Okay. Thank you so much. Are there any other disclosures?
Madam Chair, before I begin the summaries, I will have a similar disclosure. I did teach one of Ms. Nazario's graduate level classes several years ago. I do not feel that it will impede my ability to move forward on these cases. I will go ahead and start with complaint number 23-37 related to Jessica Smith. Ms. Smith did notify the board after realizing about a week and a half after her license expired that she had been practicing without the license. She seized her practice immediately. She contacted the parents of her clients. And then she did inform us that her clinical director took over her clients and all subsequent billing was reversed. At the time of the committee review and in kind of the consistency of all of the incidences that we had seen, we did want to open a complaint to discuss the possibility of a non-disciplinary letter of concern. And that is pretty much the summary at this point.
Thank you. Do any members of the committee have questions for Dr. Davis Wilson?
Or Dr. Davis, no, we're going to raise my hand so I don't get muted by the chair.
Dr. Davey.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Davis Wilson. I reviewed the materials that were put forth by both, well, I guess they're separated. So Ms. Smith, with regard to information from her supervisor, extensive information with regard to the supervision that was provided during the time frame that is mentioned. And, you know, in reviewing that appears to really answer many of the questions we had around what supervision looked like during that brief unlicensed period. And I, for one, was satisfied with that level of detail. I don't know if that's really a question, but more of a statement.
I do see that Ms. Smith is here if the committee wants to hear from her.
Absolutely. Are there any other questions for Dr. Davis Wilson before we move to Ms. Smith? Okay. Ms. Smith, are you present today and do you wish to address the committee?
Hi, yeah, I'm here. I think I submitted as much as I could, but I do want to thank you guys again for being so diligent with everything and taking the time to go over all of my information And again, I apologize that I let that happen to begin with, but I'll definitely learn from that mistake. And if you guys have any questions, I'm available to answer.
Okay, thank you very much. Do any committee members have questions for Ms. Smith? Dr. Davey?
Yeah, not really a question. I appreciate the documentation, as I already kind of, I guess, cut the chase on. I think the second thing I'll just ask is, you know, you obviously are in the community of licensed behavior analysts in the state, and, you know, I have the same statement that I will make for Ms. Nazario. And, you know, that is, talk to your fellow licensed behavior analysts about the renewal process. Like, we are doing all we can to get this information out from our board and from our executive director and the support staff, but we need people in the community talking about the fact that this is tied to your birthday month and this is not tied to your BACB certification, and that having accurate contact information in our portal is a requirement, and that we have the ability to get a hold of you in a timely fashion. And I know we are polite around the, hey, it went to spam, but at the same time, as you are coming online and maturing as a trusted LBA within the community, you know, email or not, you should have a good understanding of when your certificate and when your licenses, if you hold multiple licenses, are up for renewal. And so I just encourage you to be conversant with those in the community about your experience here, what you learned, and how they can help avoid having to spend this kind of time with us and working through the process to clean up any areas that we had questions about.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. Wise words. Are there any other comments or questions for Ms. Smith?
Madam Chair, I would just move that we dismiss this complaint.
Okay. We've got a motion made by Dr. Davis Wilson. There is a second by Dr. Davey. Is there any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, we will go for a vote. All in favor of dismissing the complaint against Ms. Smith? Say aye.
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 Okay, all opposed? Nay. The motion carries.
Madam Chair, if I may, and Ms. Galvin might want to chime in. A slight amendment is to propose a dismissal of this complaint to the full board.
That is it. Ms. Galvin, do we need to re-vote for this?
No, I think it's sufficient the way it is. And just so that Ms. Smith understands, this is just a recommendation to the board.
I understand. Thank you.
Excellent. We will move on to agenda item number 5B. Dr. Davis Wilson, will you please supply a summary of this case for the committee?
Yes, Madam Chair, I have no surprises. Ms. Nazario was in a similar boat. This is related to complaint number 2338. Ms. Nazario did have almost a month in her lapse in which she did acknowledge supporting two clients. She was able to, and I appreciate Dr. Davey bringing that clarification. I did not have that in my previous summary, for Ms. Smith, but Ms. Nazario was also able to provide an attestation from her supervisor outlining that all of her work during that period was supervised by an LBA, and that the services that she was providing were ancillary services to services that he was actively supervising. Again, we, to be uniform with all of the licenses that we had seen in this particular circumstance, we did recommend an opening of this complaint with a possible review of a non-disciplinary letter of concern. And that does conclude my summary, but I'm open to answering questions if anybody has any.
Thank you, Dr. Davis Wilson. Do any committee members have questions for Dr. Davis Wilson? Seeing no questions, we will move here to Ms. Nazario. Are you present today, and do you wish to make a brief statement to the committee?
Hello, good morning. Yes, I'm present. And really all I wanted to say is kind of wanted to echo what Dr. Davy said, and I do want to let the board know that from the time of the last board to this board, I have been talking to my colleagues and have been sharing my experiences with them so that they're not in this boat that I am, which I feel truly, truly just embarrassment to be in the presence of two individuals that were my previous teachers. And I hope to have corrected this mistake by educating others about the licensing process, but also I have also been listening into the meetings from the last time that I sat in on the board just to educate myself on what else I don't know. And I know that Dr. Diana Davis-Wilson stated in one of the agenda items from a previous meeting that this is a symptom to a much bigger problem. And I understand that. And that's why I'm continuing to listen to these meetings so that I can provide myself that education and further my knowledge and help other behavior analysts as well.
Thank you, Ms. Nazario. Do any committee members have questions for Ms. Nazario? Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I have no questions for Ms. Nazario, but I wanted to thank you for taking that feedback to heart and taking the time to learn more. And, you know, when we know more, we can do better. And so I do appreciate that. I also want to just point out that I think that this goes to show the benefit of working in kind of a tiered collaborative model. You know, I know there are several BCBIs that pass their exam and immediately start their own business. And by having the kind of step model that both Ms. Smith and you, Ms. Nazario, were able to demonstrate, that does allow for us to see that the supervision is ongoing all of the time. And, you know, we talk about this in ethics, we talk about this in professional development, but we're all learning. And so we all need mentorship and supervision through the course of our entire career. It doesn't just stop once we become licensed. So I do appreciate that you have continued to embark in kind of that pathway professionally, and that you do have mentors that are overseeing that work as a young professional. And I appreciate you providing that documentation to us as well. Madam Chair, if I may, since I didn't get to lower my hand yet, I will go ahead and make a motion that we recommend to the full board a dismissal of this complaint.
I'm second.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a motion that has been made by Dr. Davis-Wilson to recommend to the full board a dismissal of this complaint. It was seconded, I'll choose, by Dr. Stenhoff. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we will move to a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All opposed? Nay. The motion carries. Thank you so much to Ms. Nazario and to Ms. Smith for being present today. We are so appreciative of your attendance and your responsivity to these complaints and taking these concerns to heart. We very much appreciate your presence. We will move on to agenda item number 6, which is discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding recommendation to the board regarding license reinstatement requests submitted by Nicole Hart, and possible recommendation to open a complaint for unlicensed practice. For agenda item number 6, Ms. Poe, will you please provide a summary of this matter for the committee?
Yes, Madam Chair and members of the committee. On April 13th, Ms. Hart submitted her request for license reinstatement. Her license expired on March 31st of this year. So she did note on her license reinstatement application that she had practiced for a short time before she realized that her license had expired. So therefore, the reinstatement was submitted within the 60-day timeframe that board staff can approve it. But since she admitted to having practiced while the license was expired, this matter has been placed on the agenda for the committee to make a recommendation to the board regarding the application. And I am not sure if Ms. Hart is present. Ms. Hart, oh yes, she is present. So that concludes my summary of the case. I'm not sure if Ms. Hart has a statement or if committee members have questions for her, but she is attending the meeting.
I think before we move on to questions for Ms. Hart, do any committee members have questions for Ms. Poe regarding the summary of the matter? Dr. Davey?
Yes, Ms. Poe, question. It appears in the report that there was a prorated amount of CEUs. Was this a off-cycle renewal? This was not a full two period. Was this, I guess the quicker way to ask this, was this her first renewal?
Yes, Dr. Davey. So her prorated CE requirements, since it was not a full 24 months of licensure and this was her first renewal, the CE requirements are prorated down from the full 30 to 26.25. And I will make note, thank you for the reminder, Ms. Hart has submitted 27 hours of CE. However, 4.5 of the hours were completed outside of the license period. She completed these after March 31st. So her license period ended on March 31st for CE, and the CE was completed after that when she realized she did not have enough CE to meet the prorated requirement. So she is asking that the committee and the board still accept these CEs, knowing that they are to be used for this license reinstatement renewal period and cannot be used to meet future or her next renewal.
Yes, thank you. That was going to be my follow-up question. So she is, as of today, if we were to take the credits that were done after she realized the lapse, she would be current and hitting those CEU requirements, and that then the understanding of the applicant is those CEU requirements are now used and she is set back to zero for the next two-year period?
Dr. Davey, yes, that is correct. She does understand that.
Thank you. And I'll ask her as well. Thank you.
Do any other committee members have questions for Ms. Poe? Okay. Seeing none, Ms. Hart, are you present today? And do you wish to make a statement to the committee?
Yes, I'm here. So yes, I definitely wanted to apologize for practicing without my license as it has expired. I definitely did want to make a statement as well about some of the time frames. So a couple months after I received my license, I was on maternity leave from August 1st through October 24th. And then as well, I definitely wanted to make note that I did work for Texas between April 1st and August 31st, so about a 4-month time frame. So I got my Texas license there. The first week of April, though, I did I did work as an Arizona behavior analyst, as I did an intake during that week for my Arizona location. But after that, I was a full Texas behavior analyst. As I kind of like looked after my thing expired, I looked up a lot of like the frequently asked questions on the board's website. And I did see like, you know, if I wasn't practicing as an Arizona behavior analyst, I should have put my license on inactive during that timeframe, which I did not know. But I definitely learned a lot after my license expired and reviewing a lot of those questions and seeing what I could have done better to prevent a lot of these things, especially to get an extension on the CEs during while I was out on maternity leave, to have that extended as well. But no, I just definitely wanted to apologize for that. And kind of going back on what you said, Dr. Davey, you know, becoming a new licensee and realizing like, you know, some of these deadlines and things like that. So as a first time, I have definitely learned and will not want to make this mistake again. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hart. Do any committee members have questions or discussion for Ms. Hart?
Madam Chair, this is Ms. Poe again. I just have a comment to Ms. Hart regarding her comment about inactive status. Ms. Hart, you do have the option to go on inactive status, but it actually is not a requirement. Even if you're not working in Arizona or residing in Arizona, you're not required to place your license on inactive status, but it always is an option. So just to clarify that.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Any further questions or discussion? Dr. Davey?
Yeah, I couldn't find my button fast enough. Well, Dr. Davis Wilson did have her hand up, so I'm happy to wait.
Okay.
Dr. Davis Wilson actually beat me.
Okay.
Back to you.
I need a buzzer. I just want a verification again that you understand what Ms. Poe outlined, that should this committee move forward with accepting the CEUs that you completed post the period where they were required, that those would not be eligible to be counted again. And I just want clarification that you're on board with that and understand that.
Yes, sorry, couldn't find my button. Yes, I do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Davis Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, Ms. Hart, as far as the services that you did provide, you said that you completed an intake for the Arizona location. Do you have in kind of the structure of your organization, are you supervised by or is the intake process supervised by an Arizona LBA?
When I was working for Texas?
Nope. I'm only interested in Arizona.
Oh, so the intake that happened for that week was when I was still, had my active license in Arizona. And so I was working both and they had already scheduled it. So, it was last year that happened. So I still had my Arizona license. But I also had my Texas license. So I was during that first week, I was working for both Arizona and Texas.
Okay. So did you provide any services to anybody in Arizona during the time that your license was lapsed?
Yes. When my license had expired, I did. And then I did bring it up to my director or my supervisor. She's kind of both, and did let her know.
Okay. Can you kind of just describe what services you did provide and start with that.
Okay, no problem. So I did do supervision with the client, so direct services, and then I also provided parent trainings.
Okay. And then are you also supervised? So you have a supervisor that oversees your work?
Yes.
And is that individual licensed in Arizona?
Yes.
Okay.
Dr. Davis Wilson, friendly follow up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Just for clarification, Ms. Hart, licensed in Arizona during this period where she was supervising you, the period in question, when you were doing those parent trainings and some direct supervision?
So did she supervise me during those times?
Did she hold an active license in the state of Arizona while she was doing that?
Yes.
That is the only questions that I had.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, would any member of the committee like to offer a motion? Dr. Davis Wilson?
I'm going to backtrack to just discussion a little bit because I don't know that I'm ready to offer a motion. I'm concerned about, and I know that we had a large group of individuals come through all in these similar boats, and we've been very consistent with how we have addressed each one of them. I'm concerned about going off path from that, and am wondering what other committee members are thinking as far as, you know, referring this as we have done, so approving the license reinstatement, referring this to a future meeting for a potential opening of a complaint, and allowing for Ms. Hart during that time to get attestation of supervision, so that we're consistent, because we've had, you know, two individuals today alone. We had several at the last meeting that we set kind of that precedence for them. And they did, you know, have to lose sleep for another month of waiting for meetings and gather the information. And so I want to make sure that, that there's consistency in how, you know, we're looking at these.
Dr. Davis-Wilson, I would agree.
So, I think we lost.
We're here.
Can you call on me officially?
Yeah, you started talking, so I was just going to let it fly. Dr. Davy.
I'm trying to shape my behavior. So I see things just a little different, not completely by any means. But I do, you know, I understand the idea that we went through some of these and we have, you know, I for one have kind of evolved, I think, my thinking around some of this, given some of the feedback from our licensees that have come forth to us and have, you know, kind of brought to light the information around the supervision that they received during these periods in question, whether they be one day or, you know, 2 months. You know, and so I kind of sit and I think about the learnings that we've had from the past experience as committee members for the last couple months going through these. And I guess my question is, you know, in my head, is there any, based on what I've heard today, is there anything that would change the outcome of my thought process that I'm going to hear a month from now? And I think at this point, there's probably very little, unless the applicant has blatantly lied to us about being supervised, which is a whole nother problem. So I struggle with, I don't know that there, unless it's a complete lie that I hear a month from now, I don't know that my ultimate recommendation for this particular case and cases that may come in the future around this will change. So I just put that out there as part of my thought process.
Dr. Davis-Wilson.
Dr. Davy, I don't disagree. I don't want to assume that there's a blatant lie, but there could be a misunderstanding of what constitutes supervision. And I do think that we have an obligation to the statute. I'm wondering if maybe an option could be, rather than referring this for a complaint yet, that perhaps we
request for further information.
That we table this, yeah. That we table this and request that she supply that information to board staff. That way, because I understand. At least I think I understand what direction kind of your mind is now. I'm in a very similar boat, but I also want to make sure that we're. And that's not to say that I don't believe Ms. Hart. I just want to make sure that we're getting the proper verification from the actual licensee, that there was the supervision. But I wonder if that happy medium could be, rather than referring this to open a complaint. Yeah, that is what we did with the others. But again, when you know better, you do better. Perhaps we can just table this, give opportunity to get that documentation and then make a decision.
Dr. Davy?
Yeah, when you're speaking to Dr. Davis-Wilson, I thought, yeah, request for additional information, right? Maybe this allows us to not have to always go down the complaint path. Like if there is truly something there that's not quite up to snuff, then absolutely, right? We open the complaint. But if more information would provide us the ability to essentially move this on as a dismissal versus a complaint, then I think that serves would serve the public, serve the licensee, and serve the committee and the board as well. And so I do like that. I also think that, you know, maybe is even a practice that we could discuss with board staff is when these are coming forward, that maybe there is the early on expectation is, you know, you should come prepared to document and have attestation to the period where this is in question. You know, don't, let's not drag this out for 3 months, right? If this is the question that we're going to ask every time, and it's the same, you know, we're setting the precedent of these are the questions we want and these are the verifications we want, but I agree with you, like, let's get the verification, then maybe that short circuits some of these very early on, much like it did in the first case and the second. I'm agreeing with you.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, this is Ms. Poe. I just have a comment, and I do see Ms. Hart has her hand raised as well. If the committee goes down this road for a recommendation, is there an option to approve the reinstatement if we table this matter and just review the complaint portion of it? Because otherwise, she would not be able to continue to practice during the interim.
Madam Chair, if I may, Ms. Poe, yes, that would be the first. We would go ahead and reinstate the license, would be the first part of the motion. And then we're just looking at, is that the only motion? And then we table the rest. I think that's aligned with what we were thinking. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Davis-Wilson.
Ms. Hart?
Yes, I just wanted a quick clarification for the supervision. Were you asking like if she supervised me while I was working as like doing my direct supervision over my clients, or because me and my supervisor meet weekly? And so that's what I was kind of thinking. So I was just wondering if you were talking about supervising during those times, like during the week of the expiration date kind of thing.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Yeah, Ms. Denton, or I'm sorry, Madam Chair, Ms. Hart, this is not the same type of supervision as if you're working towards certification. This is just that you're being supervised in such a way that the public's protected and that there's somebody who is licensed in Arizona that can kind of attest to the work that you were doing. It is not defined by any specific like dosage or amount. It's defined by kind of the standards of care and quality services. And so what we have been seeing is kind of for that period of time, or if you have that weekly supervision, then what people have been submitting to us is a letter from the supervisor, just attesting to that, that, you know, every week we meet, here's the nature of what we're doing, here's kind of what the nature of that supervision looks like. So it's not one in the same with like the supervision that's required to become certified or licensed. It's more of just kind of that quality assurance, protection of the public supervision piece.
Gotcha. Thank you so much.
Is there any further questions for Ms. Hart or discussion before we determine a motion? Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Yep. Madam Chair, I'll go ahead and make a motion that we recommended the full board the reinstatement of Ms. Hart's license, and that we kind of table the remainder of the conversation to the next meeting to allow for an opportunity to coordinate with Ms. Hart, coordinate with her supervisor, and have her supervisor perhaps provide us attestation of that supervision so that we can review it before we make any decision on the actual unlicensed practice portion of this agenda item.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, a motion has been made by Dr. Davis-Wilson. It has been seconded by Dr. Stenhong. Is there any further discussion?
I just want to be clear that with the reinstatement of this, then as soon as that license is issued, she's good to practice in the state of Arizona. And then we will continue on with the testing piece around the supervisor. But just to be clear that that does give her an active license once this goes to the full board in a week. No further discussion. Thank you.
Okay. We will go ahead and take a vote. All in favor of the proposed motion, say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. The motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Hart, again, for being here and for being willing to answer questions and to go through and or to receiving the information from you to hopefully resolve this matter. Okay, we will go ahead. Ms. Hart, also board staff will follow up with you to outline the next steps of the process. So they will be in contact with you.
Thank you so much.
And just be clear with the applicant, the license is not effective as of today. It'll, if approved by the full board in a week, it'll become active once it populates onto the website, just so we don't have another issue of working on, without a license yet.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. Okay, we will move on to agenda item number 7, which is discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding alleged unlicensed practice provided by Raven Rogers, VCBA, to include the interview of Raven Rogers and Lauren Niemer-Kaiser. Dr. Davey, will you please supply a summary of this statement for the committee?
What's up with the Freudian slips on the surprise? Are you really like, are you expecting something exciting to happen today? You put a lot of pressure on Dr. Davis Wilson and I with wanting some excitement out of this.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, just let us know. We don't want to let you down as our leader and chairwoman. Like if you need something, like I can, you know, show up with some balloons or something for after our first break. I'm happy.
I would love balloons. That sounds fabulous.
I'll have them shipped over. Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, no surprises here. I thought the memo provided by Ms. Packerman was extremely thorough. So again, discussion, consideration, possible action regarding unlicensed supervision provided by Raven Rogers, BCBA. And I believe that hopefully today we have Ms. Rogers and Ms. Niemer-Kaiser on the phone. Back in, what was it, a month ago, March 31st, 2023, we reviewed an application for a Samantha Weeman. That file was attached for everyone to take a look at. It reflected a supervision period of September 2020 through March of 2021, where an individual, Raven Rogers, was employed by Hume House. I think that's how we say it, Hume House. And that there was 526.5 hours of supervision provided remotely to Ms. Weeman by Raven Rogers. And so if you recall, part of the discussion, that in the past, we've actually had Ms. Niemer-Kaiser, the owner of Hume House, in front of us to have some discussion around unlicensed supervision situations occurring in Arizona via the company that she operates. And so that was the discussion. There was a period, and I think it's important to note the dates that Ms. Packerman provided us in the memo. The first question that came to us was with Cheyenne Cody DeRosa. And the period in question was January 1st, 2020 through March 30th of 2021, where again, we had supervision services by unlicensed behavior analysts coming through our state and being provided to the licensee in question. On the 24th of September, 2021, Ms. Niemer-Kaiser came forward to the committee to help us understand what was going on there. She had a very candid conversation with us where she admitted that Ms. Williams obtained her supervision through the company that January 1st through March 31st. And during that time, she was not fully aware of Arizona's licensure requirements. And that once that she became aware that she was immediately changing the supervision to an Arizona licensed behavior analyst in order to be in compliance. She walked us through much of the company's operations and how they match up supervisors with potential supervisees. And she did speak to the fact that she is the one that ultimately makes final decisions and signs off on contracts. I think that important to note there that she did state to us that every new supervisee is now tasked with reviewing and confirming requirements for their state and indicated that that was going to be occurring. So now we move to the discussion today of Ms. Raven Rogers in a period of September 20th through March March 21st of 2021. So please note the timing overlap, if you will, of the supervision services to Ms. Williams and Ms. Weeman, right? And so we have Ms. Raven Rogers is listed on the application of Samantha Weeman as having provided her supervision at the ASA school in Tempe. Services were again provided through Hume House through a contractual agreement. And that is my summary and discussion. I think that we have, hopefully we have the individuals here today that kind of walk us through, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for Dr. Davey? Let's see here. Ms. Rogers, we will start with you. Are you present and do you wish to make a statement to the committee?
I'm present.
And, do you wish to make a... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. yes, with that situation, I was unaware that through the setup that we had, through Hume House, that we had like a mismatch and that I was not allowed to practice as her supervisor because I wasn't an Arizona LBA. But as soon as I was made aware, you know, I withdrew all services and I ended services with that individual. And I think we followed the right procedures to pair her with somebody who was LBA. And I haven't, you know, spoken with that individual since. And, you know, as of today, I'm just sitting here, you know, I take this experience as a learning curve to become more competent in the field, as well as understanding different state regulations before engaging in a contract outside of my state.
Rogers, Dr. Davey?
Just a question, Ms. Rogers, and thank you for being here. It makes things much easier. We can speak to everybody and get the answers we need to be able to move forward. How did you become aware of the fact that you were engaged in providing supervision without licensure in the state of Arizona?
I was actually made aware by the individual at the time. It was possibly right at that March statement, and she emailed me and stated that I didn't know that I needed to have an LBA. You know, did you know that? I was like, I was unaware of Arizona's regulations. I did not know that. And then immediately I contacted Lauren, my supervisor at Hume House, to discuss, you know, plans of action as far as like, how can we correct this? Because obviously this is a violation. We need to correct this immediately. Then that was the end of that.
And just a follow-up to that, once you became aware of it, how was that information communicated to Hume House and to whom was it communicated?
I immediately, like, so it was during a setup initially for a supervision meeting that we had that it was communicated to me, and we ended that after she discussed that because I said I need to talk to Lauren, and I reached out through we have an app, and we also through email, and I made a phone call, and we set up a meeting virtually to discuss it.
And then just a final question, are you still providing supervision through Hume House?
Yes.
And, you know, through this experience, you know, some of the information that was provided to us is that, you know, kind of moving forward from the kind of meeting that we had with Ms. Kaiser in September of 2021, so kind of post the March date, that they were working to clean up some of the processes as it relates to supervisees as well as supervisors understanding licensure requirements of which you were operating. Can you speak to some of the things that you were made aware of with regard to that?
I do know as of after that experience, a lot of our processes, you know, in with the company has changed as far as the way we match things. And so that when we do get contacted for supervision from a potential trainee, we kind of check and see would we match by state and making sure that I'm allowed to, you know, be with that client. So every time I do take an introduction call, we are now, you know, supposed to see if we are matched and we are allowed to become their supervisor. And if not, if there's any kind of violation towards that. So those are the changes that have been made so far.
Thank you for that. I have no further questions, Madam Chair.
Dr. Davis-Wilson.
Can you just, I know that this was around the time of COVID when there was also some practice restrictions. Were you observing clients that she was working with at the school or students she was working with at the school?
Yes. So it was asynchronous. I would meet with her, and because I gave her forms to fill out for HIPAA and confidentiality to record her potential clients. However, when they denied to be visually recorded, I requested for her to send me asynchronous recordings of audio. And that's how I was able to see and understand what she was doing. And also her as well.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any further questions for Ms. Rogers before we offer Ms. Niemer-Kaiser the opportunity to speak? Dr. Stenhoff?
Thank you. Ms. Rogers, so you said you were conducting supervision through audio recordings?
So the camera would be faced towards her. And what specific ABA intervention strategy that we are focusing on, I would watch her implement it, but just the kid's face was not in the camera view. But I was watching what she was implementing and how it was, you know, getting received back, you know, all the ABC data. And I can hear how the kid was responding. Then I would give her direct, after we did our feedback, I would give her kind of direct feedback on how to proceed in that specific situation. So I can visually see what she was doing, just not how the kid was, because he was not allowed.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for clarifying. Appreciate it.
Any further questions by committee members? Okay. Ms. Niemer-Kaiser, are you present today? And do you wish to make a statement to the committee?
I am present. I'm over here. Just to follow up, we did make pretty significant adjustments after the last time that I was here, and I sincerely appreciated the feedback and the learning opportunity at that point in time, and was available to be at the meeting. When we learned about the previous situation with Ms. Wilson, the previous complaint, we did an audit of every single individual that was in the organization at that point in time, had reached out to all the trainees and said, anybody who's in Arizona, please let us know who you are. At that point, Samantha did reach out to Raven and prompted additional conversation. We did support with removing her immediately. So the movement was evoked by the engagement with Cheyenne and having to navigate the situation there. Unfortunately, those situations were happening at the exact same time, so we were unaware of what was happening. But since then, we did make adjustments in contracts. I no longer sign the contracts. They're all individual for the supervisor and the individual that they're matched with. We also have increased visibility within the matchmaking process, where when an individual is getting a connection, is what we call it within our portal, we are now able to see the location in which the client's at, and we also see the supervisor's location in the marketplace. It also lists their license, It lists verification, additional information like that. And we've also added language into our contracts regarding licensure, and making sure that it is there, that they have gone back, they've sought feedback from their board if necessary, have sought any type of additional clarification necessary, and that we would support them in that. And we've also linked not only the BACB's licensure page onto our site now, we've also created a resource for trainees and individuals to look at. So definitely increasing visibility, ensuring that we're doing our best to catch and ensure it's not happening as much as humanly possible. Unfortunately, the situation was before, when we're looking at the time frame before I was able to meet with you all and have a significant learning opportunity during the last meeting together.
Thank you, Mayor Kaiser. Do any committee members have discussion or questions for Ms. Niemer Kaiser? Dr. Davis Wilson?
Yeah, Ms. Niemer Kaiser, thank you for being here. When we met the last time, and that was several months after you guys had identified the error and rectified it, I specifically asked if there would be any applicants coming before us that we should be aware of. And your response was no. Your response was that an individual applicant was in the orientation phases but had not accrued any hours. Can you speak to the discrepancy between what you reported to the board at that time versus what we are seeing now about those services?
No, great question. And this is the individual that I was aware of at that point in time that I thought may be an issue. I wrongfully, I guess, assumed that the hours were less than what they were based off of what my visibility was at that point in time, and thought it was much less. And the individual, I believe at that point in time, we had discussions about wipe them and we would refund and move those credits over. I didn't realize as many at that point in time were counted. And that was a wrongful assumption on my end. Yes.
So I'm going to ask it again in a little different. We asked for clarification if the individual had been supervised, and your response was no, that individual was in orientation and had not began accruing hours. You're now saying that that individual was told to wipe those hours. So what you're saying is you were telling them wipe those hours, but telling us, no, they weren't there in hopes that they would be wiped. I'm a little bit still confused about the discrepancy there.
No, I appreciate your feedback. And I will be very honest. I don't remember. I thought it was Samantha who was in an intro process and like had done nothing, like barely any hours upon intake. I did not realize at that point in time that especially 500 hours, I was not aware of that. My involvement with the individuals and their month-to-month sign off of the hours that they're accumulating, I don't look at that all the time. And so I definitely, if I said no, I should have stated that I would look back and review. But at that point in time, I didn't believe there was anybody. So I do apologize for the miscommunication. Unless I am missing names after 2 years. But as soon as we were made aware, I attempted to move everybody at that point in time.
Hey, Davis Wilson.
Yeah, so at what point did you have the discussion with Samantha about wiping her hours? When was that discussion done?
So I guess wiping is a poor choice of words, of saying that these hours would not count, they're not eligible, restart, I think is the better way to describe that. Honestly, I need to look back and see at that point in time what we were having, what we were discussing. I knew at that point, based off of the conversation, the feedback that we had gotten from Cheyenne's experience, that the hours were not going to be eligible. So as soon as we realized that she was with a supervisor who was not an LBA, that comment would have been made of those hours aren't going to help. How can we help you ensure that you're still going to continue to pursue the hours necessary to meet the BACB's requirements and do it and so that she's following the Arizona requirements as well.
Dr. Davis-Wilson, are you comfortable hearing from Ms. Rogers? I have a feeling this is in response to a question.
If I can finish on this first, because I'm less concerned about the hours, I'm more concerned about the misrepresentation. I'm just trying to make sure I understand. When in 2021 you were made aware of Cheyenne's hours, who notified? I know Samantha brought it to your guys' attention, but who was the one that would have had or been involved in the conversation to tell her, hey, those hours do not count and we can refund the money?
It would have been Raven that said in a one-on-one, those don't count, or Raven and myself in a meeting with Samantha. My business partner and myself would have been the one to say, we use the term credits. We'll move your credits and allow you to continue to work with us and either refund the money or continue to give you the services for free.
Thank you. Do you recall meeting with Samantha at any time?
I would have to, honestly, I'd have to go look back. I was so concerned with supporting Cheyenne throughout that process at that point in time. I had believed we had moved this individual appropriately to another provider and supporting the instance in which was under investigation at that point in time. So honestly, I'm not certain.
Okay. I'll end my questioning there.
Ms. Rogers?
I was just going to kind of piggyback and provide more clarification to Dr. Wilson about the notification and that, again, that I was that point of contact when we initially found out, and I told her when she asked me that those hours would not be counted, that you would have to regain those hours from an LBA, and that I know that there was a significant loss in the months time that you lost those hours, but that they would not be usable and that you were not allowed to submit those hours under my name and under those amount of hours. But yes, I had that conversation with her.
Dr. Davis-Wilson.
Thank you. And so, Ms. Rogers, was there ever a meeting between you, Samantha, and Ms. Niemerkaiser?
Yes.
Thank you. And was there any conversation around, so at that time of the investigation involving the other applicant, there was another supervisor that was asked to come forth and have the conversation about the unlicensed practice. Were you advised at any time to self-report or self-acknowledge that perhaps you were providing services outside of Ethics Code 1.02, which is conforming to the legal requirements of the community in which you're working?
No, I was just unaware. And I at the time naively just understood that if I were to stop services, I did the best of my ethical code to just remove myself from that particular client and, you know, just continue forth for her to follow, you know, her state regulations.
Thank you. My last question for you, Ms. Rogers, and I appreciate you sharing that you are, you've learned a bit and you're going to continue to be diligent around practicing in other states, because we're not the only state with licensure, right? That you have learned about that. Were you aware at the time of Samantha's supervision that there was an active investigation going on another supervisor and supervisee's hours within Hume House?
No, not at all. I figured at the time it was just my misjudgment and not, again, taking the time to actually look at state regulations before engaging in that action. And I thought I was just the only one at the time.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Do any other committee members have questions for Ms. Niemer-Kaiser or Ms. Rogers, Dr. Davey?
Just one question, Ms. Rogers. I think you said this at the beginning, but I want to make sure I heard it. Once you kind of became aware of the Arizona situation, did you take a look at your other clients that you had contracts signed with at that particular point or moving towards contracts and make sure you were in compliance as part of your kind of due diligence to your ethical responsibilities that you mentioned?
Yes, of course. At the time, Samantha was possibly, the 2020 was possibly right around a couple of my first ones. So my other ones were in my state and then in another state that I went ahead and kind of did a back check to make sure that I'm allowed at the time. But yes, I did my due diligence to make sure and going forward that anytime I had an introduction call, that we kind of map that out before even moving forward in the process of supervision.
Yeah. Thank you for that. And then one more question, Madam Chair.
Have at it, Dr. Davey.
Ms. Niemer-Kaiser, again, you know, I don't have the kind of photographic memory that Dr. Davis-Wilson has, but I think it's important today for you to let us know, again, you know, if you have not completed a full audit of individuals that were engaged in supervision in the state of Arizona, you know, essentially from the inception of your organization through your adjustment to policy and practice that put you in compliance, I think that that is something that I believe we talked a little bit about last time, but that definitely needs to be done so that proactively you can get that information. I mean, Dr. Davis-Wilson's frustration is we thought we were done having conversations with regard to you and the organization and the BCBAs that you have working underneath you, and then it comes back again. And so I think that's part of what you're hearing today is that you know, we need people to be supervised in this state. We need them to be licensed, though. And you serve a vital purpose to the community, but you have to do it within the guidelines and the rules and the statutes that the state has put in place. And it cannot impress that upon you enough. And so, again, I'm sure you were, you know, probably not super thrilled to hear that you were coming back to talk to us. But I think that if anything, it should double down your efforts on that audit of that time period. And if you've engaged in any of that, say, since this has come to light again, you know, now would be the time to kind of tell us about some learnings from now what is round two with us around this topic.
Well, thank you for the feedback. And I know our team is looking through again and double checking. I think your point to look back at that time frame is extremely important to just double check. As we see, like, individuals are submitting applications 2, 3, 4 years later. And sometimes that is outside of a like most recent memory audit, right? So going back in the system, I would have to go back to our team and double check, but absolutely we'll take it back into consideration and do a full review. We do have everything documented, saved in our portal and our system. So we're able to go back and look and do a really good thorough review again. But I did have a question for you all. And Dr. Davis-Wilson, this is more based off of your prompt about self-reporting. Would that be the best form if, for example, we do go back and say, oh, nope, there was an individual for 1 week, or again, maybe there was that intake and I'm misrepresenting names here, and there is that one other human. Is self-reporting for myself, even if it wasn't myself that delivered the service at that point in time, would that be the best course of action to bring something to your attention if we were to find something in the future?
Dr. Davis-Wilson.
Yeah,
Madam Chair, Ms. Niemerkaiser, I appreciate that question. I guess my concern as it stands right now is it falls on integrity. And so I'm still a little concerned with even if you go back and find that somebody else is in there. I think finding somebody else is kind of in there and you overlooked it is vastly different than my concern of attesting to the fact that nothing was there. We have documentation that says different. So there's I just want to make sure that that's a little bit differentiated, because mm-hmm. I think if you say, to the best of my knowledge, I don't know of anybody else. And then we say, hey, can you just go back and do a double check? Then the courtesy would indeed be to let us know if you find something in that process. But to clarify, my concern is a little bit more than that, in that you attested to while simultaneously engaging in a conversation. That would have been a really good opportunity to say, actually, we do have somebody that we're going to issue credits to, and all of the things that have been stated today was vastly different than saying, nope, this was just somebody in orientation. And then when asked today to say again, well, I didn't know how many hours it was, but that at the same time say, but we were going to issue credits, is still acknowledgement that there was knowledge that supervision was occurring. Yet when asked, you reported to us that it was not. And that was after these meetings had taken place and you had transitioned. So for me on that particular issue, to me, it's an integrity issue. On what you're asking for, of if there's something that was just overlooked entirely and that comes forward and, you know, nothing's been done of it, or, you know, you're trying to navigate that, I think a courtesy report would ease some of this, because it would show kind of that best effort to kind of comply with the request.
Thank you for your feedback. Integrity is something that I take very seriously. And again, the reason why I started this organization was to provide the highest level of support for individuals, because I was burned when I was trying to get, you know, my services done. So that's the last thing I want to do. And, you know, one of our processes is I'm not in the business to take money from individuals as they're pursuing credentials. So if we were to ever have an issue with somebody, the likelihood that we're going to refund credits or put them in a place in which they're successful is high. So I don't mean to misrepresent or to show a lack of integrity. You know, I want to make sure that I'm giving you the best information as I possibly can at the moment in which I have it. And I apologize for misspeaking. And I should have come with more information and prepared last time, or at least have said, you know, let me go back and absolutely confirm for you, or at least do a due diligence check. So I appreciate the feedback, but please know it was never done with any form of malice or anything like that. It's truly to make sure I'm giving you the most accurate information.
Davey?
I just want to go back to one statement you made, and I think this is the piece I want to hear. You know, you come away with the understanding. I'm going to go back and talk to my team. I'm going to have the team take a look at this. Like, I need to know that this is some personal accountability on your part. You know, the statement you just made, you know, alludes to that personal responsibility, but, you know, the buck has to stop somewhere, and it needs to stop with you as the individual that is over the sight of said team. And so I hope you will consider that audit and the review of that information as a personal obligation on your part to make sure that there are not other things sitting out there that you may or may not have been aware of. And I think given the discussions we've had in the past and today, I think it's incumbent upon you not to say the team's going to take a look at it, but that you personally are going to own this, so that if we're going to have this conversation, it's about things you're bringing to us versus things we're coming to you about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the I will tell you too, the reason for that choice of language is I don't physically have the skills to go into the database that I would need to pull it. So I do need to pull other humans in to help me actually pull the data that I need to. But absolutely, I own it, and I'll make sure to the best of my ability it's done.
Dr. Davy?
I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Davis-Wilson?
So, Ms. Niemer-Kaiser, we've got kind of the audit piece. I'm still going to come back to the conversation piece because, and on the same notion of accountability, at the time that you had met with us, you had also already met with Samantha and Ms. Rogers. Is that correct?
I believe so. I can look back in my email, but I believe as soon as Ms. Cheyenne Cody DeRosa was, had the information, we had at that point in time had done everything to move those trainees that were receiving services to appropriate locations. So, yeah.
And I can kind of help with a little bit of the timeline. So March was about that time that you moved Ms. Rogers off the case and Ms. DeRosa on it. Our meeting with the other individual occurred in May. Our meeting with you occurred in July of 2021. So is it safe to assume from March to July, the meeting with Samantha had occurred and Samantha was offered credits to make up for the hours that she was being told were not going to count?
I believe that would be an accurate statement.
Okay. Then can you once again try to explain to me why in the meeting at that point when you had knowledge enough so to issue credits and inform somebody that hours would not be able to count, why when asked, and I believe I asked it two or three different ways, why did you answer no, this individual was just an orientation and had not begun accruing hours?
I believe at that point in time, because I had moved her already, it wasn't an active issue. I think that was a wrongful assumption on my end, obviously. But I'm assuming that I answered it in that way because that it was not an active issue at that point in time. And honestly, I do not remember that Samantha had that many hours at that point in time. I really did believe that she was early on. So whether it would have been refunding 2 hours, whether she would have prepaid for anything, I thought she was earlier in it. And again, I would need to go back at my notes and look and confirm that maybe I didn't think it was Samantha and that was another individual that was in intake that was moved. I'd really have to go back and look, but I will be, I think it was a total misspeak, whatever the correct formal language is, an error. It was an error on my end in what I said at that point in time. And I didn't have enough information to say it with full confidence in the way that I portrayed it during the meeting.
I am going to go ahead and interrupt for just a quick second. We're a little bit past our hour. Ms. Mellis, would you please provide a code word?
Yes, Madam Chair. The first code word is Costa Rica. Costa Rica. Thank you.
Mr. Davis-Wilson?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we go into executive session for the purpose of legal advice.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Dr. Davis-Wilson has made the motion to go into executive session for the purpose of receiving legal advice. Seconded by Dr. Rates, I believe. Is there any discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? The motion carries. Everyone was jumping around on my screen. I had to make sure everybody was back. So upon resuming open session, Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Ms. Denton, I'm going to go ahead and kind of move us to deliberations. I don't have any further questions. As part of deliberations, I want to, you know, speak to Ms. Niemerkaiser, because I really do, and I think I believe this was something that we shared in, I know it's something we share in common as far as values and work. I believe that it was shared in the last meeting with Ms. Niemerkaiser that there needs to be more programs like Hume House, and there needs to be more availability and accessibility to quality supervision and curriculum-based supervision. And there's so much of a need out there. And perhaps that's why I'm a little bit harsh today, is because my expectation was set quite high. And so I'm going to just kind of outline quickly my concerns. My concerns are based on the timeline, and my concerns are based on the fact that we were, and at least I thought we were, so appreciative of your presence and your opportunity to speak to us and answer our questions and share with us the program that you had at that time. Dating back to, so prior to that March period, there were two supervisees and two supervisors involved in the concerns that we had. We only knew about one of them, but I at least have reason to believe today that Ms. Niemerkaiser probably knew about both. And they've stated today that there was a meeting that even occurred between that time. And so my concern still falls on kind of that point of integrity where, when asked, again, I think it was phrased two or three different ways, when asked, is there anybody else that is going to come before this board and share with us that they had a supervisor that was not licensed? The confidence in the no was very reassuring. I think an I don't know or I'm not sure, I would have even taken, absolutely, there was somebody and we've rectified it and here's how it's been rectified. But instead we got a no. And that was not going to be the case. And it's not to say that we wouldn't see somebody. My issue isn't the hours. My issue isn't that somebody, that it came up. My concern still falls on the integrity of no. And then when asked about that discrepancy, the response was, well, we had already told the individual those hours wouldn't count. But that's very different than the information that was relayed during that timeline of, no, that end of, there weren't going to be any hours. And I think that if after that meeting, there was a meeting that says, hey guys, we need to get all the supervisors together. We need to make sure this doesn't happen again. We need to figure this out. I think that's vastly different than prior to the meeting, having a conversation with the supervisor and the supervisee, whether it's 2 hours, whether it's 5 hours, whether it's 500 hours, those meetings occur. But the representation to the board at that time was, nope, this individual was not accruing hours. And the representation, whether it's just fumbling on words, which I understand, the representation today was, well, we had already told her those hours wouldn't count. And so an assumption that comes to mind for me is the idea that if that individual didn't report those hours, that perhaps this wouldn't have been caught. But because that individual, like most behavior analysts, we like data and over-reporting. Because that individual wrote out those hours, well, now here we are today. Now, that's an assumption. I don't have facts around that, but I do feel strongly that along the timeline, there were conversations had. I also believe, I believe it today, I believed it at the time, that when an owner of an organization that is so passionate and, you know, one, willing to be here, let's add the fact that not everybody's even willing to show up when we ask them to. So please know that I absolutely appreciate that, that part. When there's somebody who can speak so eloquently to the program and the process and the system and tell us, yes, I got with my team, yet we have a BCBA who had no idea that there was another similar case going on at the exact same time, makes me wonder what training really was provided to the team and what conversations were had. And again, it goes back to kind of just that integrity piece. Now, having said that, I don't know that there's any statutory violations that that can occur. I do believe that there should be a really, really strong look at the ethics code as it pertains to accountability and as it pertains to being truthful and our role in professional integrity. But what comes of that outside of just really asking and hoping that the words and the discussion today is not just, it's not about fixing it for Arizona. That's not at all. Like I said, I'm less concerned about the hours. I think all the other pieces are fine. I'm concerned about, again, kind of the timeline and the integrity piece of it. And so for me, I'm not finding anything further that, that can be done, though I am, again, concerned with those two sections of the ethics code.
Any other discussion from committee members? Dr. Davey?
Dr. Davis Wilson, I think, summarized it very well. I just want to say that I think I don't know that shock's probably the wrong word to use, but I am not super thrilled that we're having this conversation again based on the conversation that we had the first time. And it is, you know, disheartening, I think, because we know we need these services. We know we need people doing these things. And again, I don't know that I have anything else other to add than what Dr. Davis Wilson had, just a little bit of disappointment around the fact that we're having to have this conversation a second time.
Okay, seeing no further discussion, I think we need to determine if a motion is necessary. Any committee member have a motion?
Ms. Galvin, can the motion be to take no action?
Yes, that would be appropriate if that's the committee's determination.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, if that's your motion, I think that my friendly amendment to that would be take no action, review with the understanding that we are strong, like that strong recommendation that that ethics code be taken long and hard looked at, and that personal responsibility around that audit. And, you know, I didn't, you know, unless it's a self-report, I did not want to see this happen, you know, a third time. Like it's concerning. And I don't know how you're going to put all that in a motion, but I agree at this point, there's no action, but I think the committee reserves the right, should other information come forward, that we will act as we see fit.
Who is that a motion?
I think Dr. Davis may have made the motion.
Yeah, mine can be a motion, yep.
And I'll second it.
The motion has been made by Dr. Davis Wilson to take no action on agenda item number 7. It was seconded by Dr. Davey. Is there any further discussion?
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say, just thank you again for your feedback and again for the conversation. I think not only was the first opportunity a significant learning experience, but this one is as well. And you know, having a larger business and there's a lot of moving pieces and things to navigate in an ever-changing field. And I will do my due diligence to really make sure you do not see me again, because we're doing the right things and really making sure that the effort's there. So thank you again for your feedback.
We will now take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. The motion carries. Okay, we will go ahead and move on. But I had seen someone on the line here, but I do not see them anymore. We will go ahead and move on to agenda item number 8, which is a discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding supervision services supplied by Haley Wiedewild to a behavior analyst application prior to licensure. Dr. Davis Wilson, you are the lead on this.
Madam Chair, just one question. Like, I don't know how Dr. Davis Wilson if you have a sense of this one, but maybe a comfort break at some point since we're an hour and a half into this.
Okay. I have no problem with a comfort break. Should we say we will come back at 11:15? Okay. We'll resume open session at 11:15. Open session.
Okay.
Looks. All right. We will resume open session and we will be on agenda item number 8. Again, agenda item number 8 is discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding supervision services supplied by Haley Wiedewild to a behavior analyst applicant prior to licensure. Dr. Davis Wilson, will you please provide a summary of this matter to the committee?
Yes, Madam Chair. On February 3rd of 2023, the committee reviewed an application for Ms. Zoe Lockwood. Ms. Lockwood's application reflected that Ms. Wildewit began providing supervision services on December 7th, 2020. The dates of the supervision time was during a time in which Ms. Wildewit's license, she had applied for her license. However, it had not been issued yet. It was not issued until March of 2021. So the board staff has requested the attendance of Ms. Wildewit as well as Ms. Wildewit's supervisor, who was Ms. Lockwood's primary supervisor, Ms. Bartel, to be present today to answer questions so that we can get any additional relevant information as far as the nature of the services that Ms. Wildewit was providing and whether or not that would meet the requirements of which both individuals have supplied written notice. Ms. Bartel did inform board staff that she was unable to attend today due to a pre-scheduled flight. She did, however, Ms. Wildewit did not, as far as the last board staff had relayed, had not responded with whether or not she would be present. So the concerns today are just whether or not the information before us satisfies the supervision requirements that are set forth by this board. And that does conclude my summary.
Thank you, Dr. Davis Wilson. Do any members have questions for Dr. Davis Wilson? No questions. Okay, and to confirm, neither Ms. Bartel or Ms. Wiedewild are present today. I see some phone numbers on the line. Okay. Shall we move to discussion? Is there any discussion, Dr. Davey?
Yeah, I mean, I think one, I'd like to hear from board staff or Dr. Davis Wilson, if you're aware, like what was the encouragement and the communications to these individuals to be here today to talk with us?
Madam Chair, Dr. Dave, if I may, I think that the original question was to kind of what degree the supervision may have or may not have been done as unlicensed practice. And so because the hours were counting towards the certification board, she did make up additional hours for the purpose of licensure, but that individual would have been supervising without a license herself. The question was whether or not she was supervised. Because of the way Ms. Lockwood submitted the BACB form, there was the indicator of the primary supervisor, which was Ms. Bartel, and then the other supervisors that had been provided. And so the board staff was just requesting that they provide additional information as to the nature of what services were being provided and whether or not Ms. Wildewit would have been supervised during that time.
And then just board staff, we received communication that Ms. Bartel was not going to be able to attend today because of already being traveling. And then what we have is a written statement at this particular point from Ms. Bartel. That is the extent of what we have, right?
Correct, unless Ms. Poe, unless you heard of any responses post Ms. Packnon leaving for her conference. I don't, as it stands, it does not appear that Ms. Wildewit responded.
Dr. Davis-Wilson and committee members, no, I've not received any additional correspondence regarding this.
Dr. Davy?
I don't have any more comments right now. I'm trying to gather my thoughts, I think.
Madam Chair, if I may, I know Dr. Davy, I had a kind of a similar, I was a little bit taken back by the fact that the licensee has not responded to board staff's requests. However, I do think for the issue at hand, what Ms. Bartel has supplied as far as whether or not unlicensed practice occurred, I think Ms. Bartel has kind of supplied an attestation that would state that no, that's probably not true. But I think the hang up is just that piece of whether or not, and I will say Ms. Wildewit did respond to the email, but did not acknowledge the request to be present. So the response was, thank you for reaching out. I had temporary licensure on the COVID exemption. I attached a letter. So there was no, yes, I'll be there. No, I won't response. But I do think that the information provided suffices as far as to the question of did unlicensed practice occur.
I hear you. Okay.
Any further discussion?
If none, I would just make a motion that we take no action.
I second.
All right. The motion has been made by Dr. Davis-Wilson to take no action on agenda item number 8. Dr. Davy has seconded the motion. We will now, is there any discussion? We will now take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. The motion carries.
Sorry, Madam Chair, if I may, I do want to acknowledge, Ms. Bartel has been frequently attending these meetings. And so I do appreciate her kind of regular attendance and being, active in this process. I appreciate her responses to the board. I'm sure she's feeling the misfortune of one meeting she can't attend happens to be the one that she has an agenda item on. But I do want to acknowledge that she is frequently present and available to the committee as we've requested her as a stakeholder.
Yeah. That's why I just found it kind of shocking. Show up all the other ones and not this one, but that's understandable. Thanks.
Great. Before we move to agenda item number 9, Ms. Malice, will you provide another code word?
Yes, Madam Chair. The next code word is rainforest. Rainforest. Thank you.
Boom. All right, we'll go ahead and move to the bulk of our meeting today. This is agenda item number 9, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding recommendation to the board pertaining to the approval of behavior analyst applicants. We have a decent chunk of applicants today. I will try to acknowledge those who are on the line.
Madam Chairman, if I may, can I just let the committee know that I have to step away at 11:30 for a telephone call that's been scheduled for a very long time. I should be back on at 11:45. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So if we have meeting, if we have applicants where we'd like to go to executive session, perhaps we can just push those till 11:45.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see who is on the line today.
It's like you're a talk show host. Who's on the line?
Whose line is it anyway? Okay, I see applicant number 2 on the line, Jenna Collins. I am the lead on this application, so I will proceed with a review of this applicant. Let me get to the right page. All right, Ms. Collins is seeking licensure in the state of Arizona as a licensed behavior analyst after passing her exam in February of 2023. She graduated with a graduate certificate from Florida Institute of Technology, and specifically that's where she completed her verified course sequence. She completed that verified course sequence on December 17th of 2022. She received her supervision from August 9th, 2021 until January of 2023. She received the supervision under multiple supervisors licensed in Arizona at the time of licensure. She received all of her supervision in the state of Arizona for approximately a total of 1,765 hours, which justifies or at least meets the 1,500-hour statute for obtaining licensure in Arizona. It was also noted in this application that she was licensed in Washington under the Washington State Bar Association. That was in good standing whenever she had that, came forth with verification from the Washington State Bar. At this point, I did not note any concerns with Ms. Collins' application, and I would recommend that it moves forward to the full board for potential approval. Okay, let me see who's next here. Just going to go in the order that I see on my screen. I see Portia James is here. This is applicant number 12. Dr. Stenhoff, you're the lead on this application.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair. All right, so Ms. James was certified as a BCBA in May of 2011. She graduated in 2010 from National University with a Master of Arts in Teaching and a focus on applied behavior analysis. She reported receiving 1,500 hours of supervision under a BCBA, Rick Gutierrez. Mr. Gutierrez has not provided any documentation that was requested despite Ms. James and board staff's attempts as documented. Additionally, according to the information provided, Mr. Gutierrez denies knowing Ms. James. Due to the certification, Ms. James and Ms. James have a Texas licensure and good status. I didn't know any other concerns, but based on those additional pieces, I recommend it for the board's approval.
Thank you, Dr. Stenholm. My agenda just disappeared. Hold on. Here we go. Let me see who else we have on. Brendan. I'm so sorry. Brendan. I believe I am the lead. I sure am on Brendan Brin. Let me hop over to that. We will review that application next. Brendan passed his exam in February of 2023 after graduating with a Master of Arts in Applied Behavior Analysis from Ball State University. He graduated on July 13th of 2021. He received 1,500 hours of supervision under Arizona Licensed Behavior Analyst from January 11th of 2022 until... Okay, got a mistake on my page. Give me just a second to review that because I don't believe he received supervision for only a month. So just a moment. You correct that. So sorry. Thank everyone for their patience. Okay, nope. Here we go. So supervision occurred from January of 2022 until December of 2022. So a full year. The hours that went across for 1,500 hours did not surpass the 130 hours allowed per month. I did not note any concerns with Mr. Wren's application and would recommend that it moves forward to the full board for approval. Okay. See you next. Let me see, are you on? Ms. Galvin is gone. I will hold off on Jacqueline's just because that is an application for universal recognition and is a different agenda item.
Madam Chair, yes. You do have the authority to pause one agenda item, move to another if you do want to.
Great. Well, let's just pause and we will hop down to Jacqueline Higgs. This is agenda item 9B. I believe it might be 10. I might just be way off base here. Anyway, for Jacqueline Higgs, Dr. Rates, you are the lead on this application via universal recognition.
Thank you. So in reviewing the application, the individual is licensed in the state of Nevada and is in good standing. They received their BCBA in August of 2014. They did provide the required information related to residency, and I did not see any issues with the application.
Fantastic. Okay, let me see what else we have.
Madam Chair, if we want to stay on that, it does look like we have the other universal recognition.
Okay. On the line. Fantastic. I appreciate my fellow committee members just walking. I am the lead on Shanae's application. This is another application for universal recognition. Ms. Flournoy, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, graduated with a master's degree from Capella University in March of 2021. Since that time, she has been a behavior analyst in good standing, as well as a licensed behavior analyst in the state of Washington since December of 2021. This does satisfy that 1 year requirement in good standing in another state. Ms. Flournoy provided a rental agreement showing that she has established residency in the state of Arizona. Given this, I have no concerns with this application for licensure via universal recognition and would recommend that it moves forward to the full board for potential approval.
Madam Chair, do you want to take a vote on those ones?
Sure. Love to take a vote on those. Is there a
sense just playing Miss Galvin? I think that Miss Galvin would be so pleased with your efforts.
Shh, don't tell her.
For some reason I was just thinking we lumped these all together, but it was all of them. But let's do that then. Is there a motion for these two applications for universal recognition?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'll move that we recommend both of these applications for approval to the full board.
A second?
Second.
And this has been, a motion has been made by Dr. Davis-Wilson. It has been seconded by Dr. Stenhoff. Is there any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Okay, I also see Sarah Itkoff is on the line today. Dr. Stenhoff, you are the lead on this application.
Thank you. Ms. Itkoff was certified as a BCBA in February of 2022. She graduated in July of 2021 from Ball State University with a master's in applied behavior analysis. She received 1,503 hours of supervision under a BCBA in California, which does not require licensure. I did note on page one, there's a request, and I don't know how necessary it is, but there's a request on the application that the credentialing or the degree level is included in their last name. And so I don't know if that needs to be corrected or if it's just a suggestion. And then also on page eight, the applicant indicated yes to question four related to three misdemeanors that were committed during 2013 and 2014, of which she completed the court requirements. Other than that, I did not know any concerns and recommend that the application go forward to the board for approval.
Thank you, Dr. Stenhoff. Are there any other applicants that I am not noticing are on the line? I see some people, but perhaps I don't recognize their name on the agenda. Feel free to unmute yourself and note yourself, and I'd be happy to review your application next.
Hi, Kyla Hernandez here.
And this is Dr. Stenhoff's.
I'm number 21.
Yeah. Madam Chair, would you like me to proceed with the...
Yes. Okay. Great.
All right.
Might be looking at the... Okay,
go ahead. So Ms. Hernandez was certified as a BCBA in February of 2023. She graduated in December of 20... I'm missing it. Sorry. Date got cut off. Here we go. Yeah, here we go. Graduated in 2021 with a certificate in applied behavior analysis from Arizona State University. She received 2,000 hours of supervision under an Arizona licensed behavior analyst, but I did not note any concerns and recommend the support of the board for approval.
Perfect. Thank you. It appears I was looking at the previous agenda. So I am glad that you noted number 21 that cued me over to the right one. Okay, I do believe that's everyone now. So we will...
I believe we have one more. Applicant number 12.
Applicant number 12. Did we not review Portia?
That was first.
We did. Oh. Yeah, we did review Ms. James.
So. Okay.
Sorry, I'll great. Be jumping around.
I'm just doing a really great job today.
The jumping around is brutal.
Okay.
Madam Chair, if I may, I need to switch devices. And usually when I do that, I become either a robot or I cut out for just a little bit. Can I go ahead and do mine real quick?
Yes. Yes. If we go in that order, would you like to do Anna Brown next?
Yes, please. I only have Anna Brown, I believe. I hope so. So Ms. Brown passed her exam in February of 2023. She did complete ASU's online master's in ABA in December of 2022. She did do over 1,500 hours across about 14-month period with two LBAs. I have reviewed her application and I do not see any concerns, and I would recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Thank you, Dr. Davis-Wilson. Okay, I will go ahead and go in numerical order from this point, excluding the people that we have gone through. So the brutal jumping around is finished. It's over. So applicant number one is Alexandra Alford. Dr. Davy, you're the lead.
Thank you very much. Alexandra Alford comes forward seeking license for the state of Arizona, became a BCBA December 29th of 2002, completed her application that includes a master's in science, forensic psychology, and then working through her certificate in applied behavior analysis through the Mary Lou Fulton Teachers College at ASU. Has responded to the application in full, has identified German behavioral health, and when they were a senior therapist is where they got supervised experience towards licensure, provided information with regard to licensure experience through the individual supervisor requirements. She surpassed the 2,200 hours. The individual who provided supervision to her in the state of Arizona is a licensed behavior analyst who has taken supervision training in a timely fashion and has been a licensed behavior analyst since June of 2020, which is prior to the start of supervision for this individual. Seeing no concerns with this and would support this going forward to the full board.
Thank you, Dr. Davy. The next applicant is applicant number 3, Melissa Foster. Dr. Reitz, you're the lead.
Yes, thank you. So the applicant comes to us today having received their BCBA in November of 21. They also indicated that they are licensed in Virginia. They completed their master's degree in ABA from National University in August of 2019 and completed all of their supervision in the state of California by a supervisor in good standing for a total of 1,513 hours. I did not note any issues with the application and would recommend that it move forward.
Dr. Reitz, applicant number 4 is Mara Phillips-Gray. I am the lead on this application. Ms. Phillips-Gray passed her exam on May 15th of 2020. She graduated in May of 2017 with a Master's of Education from Arcadia University. She received all of her supervision in the state of Colorado, which is a state that does not require licensure for behavior analysts, for a total of 1,567.75 hours. All supervisors had completed the BACB requirements in terms of supervisory training prior to providing that supervision. I did not note any concerns with this application and would recommend that it moves forward to the full board for potential approval. The next applicant is applicant number 5. This is Heather Fry. Dr. Stenhoff, you're the lead.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Ms. Fry was certified as a BCBA in February of 2019. She graduated in May of 2013 from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology with a master's in applied behavior analysis. She received 1,500 hours of supervision under two BCBAs in California, which does not require licensure. On page one, again, where it's requested that the last name and the degree abbreviation is supposed to be listed, the degree abbreviation is missing, but I'm not sure that whether that's necessary to include or not, but I just want to point that out. Other than that issue, I don't see any other problems with this application recommended before the board for approval.
Thank you, Dr. Stenholm. Applicant number 7 is the next applicant we will review. This is Charlie Enright. Dr. Reitz, you're the lead.
Yes, thank you. This applicant received their BCBA in February of 2023, completed their master's in December of 2022 at Capella University. Supervision occurred at the Melmoth Center for 2,000 hours under several different supervisors, but signed off by Jennifer S. Ooh, I don't have great Espinosa. I hope I'm saying this correctly. All supervisors met the requirements, and I did not see any issue with this application.
Thank you. Applicant number 9 is Nicolette Hackney. Dr. Stenhoff, you're the lead.
Thank you. Ms. Hackney was certified as a BCBA in June of 2020. She graduated in March of 2018 from Purdue University Global, Master's in Psychology. She received 2,024 hours of supervision under multiple supervisors who were LBAs in Oregon. I didn't note any concerns with this application, recommending it go forward to the board for approval.
Right, moving to applicant number 10. This is Ann Nygans. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Dr. Davey, you're the lead.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, those of you that are following the applications, I'm still trying to make the transition from the paper version to like the PDF version. So it's still interesting to kind of get into the flow on the online applications and then sometimes the printouts. Anne's coming forward seeking licensure in the state of Arizona. She also lists that she's got, besides a BCBA, she's licensed by the Arizona Department of Education, Iowa Board of Educational Examiners, as well as the California Commission on Teaching Credentialing. Those licenses, as well as her BCBA, are in good standing. Has listed her employment areas as two different areas where she was supervised under licensed behavior analyst, which I'll come back to in then a second. Her educational background is from Iowa State University and then Northern Arizona University as well for a master's degree in special education and then on for the certificate at ASU. She also listed another name for our group to look at if needed. All the questions with regard to declarations were responded to no. As I mentioned, the BCBA was in good standing. All documentation was included. The one thing I just wanted to point out was that the individual who supervised this, Ms. Janine Cawthorn, many of us know her. And as I was reviewing it, it took me back to many, many years ago. Her license number is BEH000001. So she is the very first behavior analyst that the psychology board licensed way back in late 2010. So it's good to see that she's back supervising young BCBAs in the field. With that little extra commentary, I would like to see this move forward to the full board.
Thank you, Dr. Daisy. Okay, the next applicant is applicant number 11, Nicole Castillo. Dr. Reitz, you're the lead.
Thank you. Ms. Castillo received her BCBA in February of 2023. She completed a master's in education from ASU in May of 2022. Supervision occurred between October of 2020 and January of 2023 for over 2,000 hours across multiple supervisors, all in good standing. And I did not note any issue with the application. I recommend that we move it
Great. Thank you, Dr. Raids. Applicant number 13 will be next. This is Catherine Castro. Dr. Davey, you're the lead.
Thank you. Yes, Ms. Castro comes forward seeking licensure in the state of Arizona. She has completed, again, an online application, went through and added her her places of employment and identified locations for, scrolled over as her places of employment as Upton Behavioral Consulting, where she was both a behavior therapist and a registered behavior technician. She became a board certified analyst in November of 2022. Her educational experience is from Arizona State University, where she received her certificate in behavior analysis. Her master's degree came from Walden University in forensic psychology. In her declarations, she responded no to questions 1, 2, and 3, and 6, 8, 4, 7, like all, pretty much responded no to all of them. There were no affirmatives that required additional information. Her BCBA is in good standing. The individual that provided her supervision, there was two listed on one form. Both were licensed and able to provide supervision per requirements. Two more on another form from a different organization from Arizona State University through their practicum experience. Also, both individuals there were BCBAs trained in supervision as well as having active licenses during said supervision. I'd like to see this one move forward to the full board as well.
Thank you. Applicant number 14 is next. This is Kendall Mooney. I am the lead on this application and we'll proceed with this review.
Madam Chair, I would just like to point out that I have met Ms. Kendall Mooney. She actually works for works for the organization for which I work for. I'm not her direct supervisor and have limited to no interaction with her in terms of her activities as a supervising or as a BCBA in her supervisory capacity at our centers. I feel like I can be objective with reviewing her app or being a part of this discussion on her application, but did want to point that out.
Thank you. All right. Kendall Mooney passed the behavior analyst exam in February 28 of 2017 after graduating with a Master's of Education from Arizona State University in December of 2015. Supervision occurred in the state of Maryland from August of 2015 until November of 2016. The applicant accrued a 1,500 hours of supervision under a Maryland licensed behavior analyst during the time of supervision. This applicant is also a licensed behavior analyst in Rhode Island in good standing. There are no concerns that I have regarding this application and would recommend that it moves forward to the full board for potential approval. The next applicant is applicant number 15, Christina Costa. Dr. Raitz, you're the lead.
Yes, thank you. Ms. Costa received her BCBA in August of 2022. She completed a master's at Chicago School of Professional Psychology in May of 2022. She had supervision across multiple agencies in the state of California for over 2,000 hours and review all of those supervisors' method requirements. Did not see any issue with the application.
Excellent. Applicant number 16 is Julian Enlow. Dr. Stenhoff, this one's for you.
Thank you. Mr. Enlow was certified as a BCBA in February of 2023, graduated in July of 2022 from National University with a master's in applied behavior analysis. He received 1,908.67 hours of supervision under two Arizona licensed behavior analysts. I did not note any concerns with his application, recommended it before the board for approval.
Application number 17 is for Sarah Nobari. This application, I am the lead. it comes forward again to us after a first additional request for information to refresh the committee. This was an application where two supervisors who resided in the state of California had noted that they were licensed in California, had noted that they were a relative, subordinate, or employee of the applicant, and that modifications were made due to the pandemic without providing any additional information. Board staff did reach out to these supervisors to receive clarification on these items and additional documentation as needed. Both supervisors replied back with modified forms. It appeared that was an error on those questions. They have updated that information. The supervisee received enough supervision. The only concerns that we had previously were related to the accuracy of those statements and if additional documentation was needed. The forms that were supplied, to my belief, corrected and remediated the concerns that were initially present. And I would recommend that it moves forward to the full board for approval. Okay, applicant number 19 is Jillian Puccio. Dr. Reitz, you're the lead.
Yes, thank you. The applicant comes before us today having received their BCBA in 2019. They also indicated that they are licensed in the state of Texas and Massachusetts, both in good standing. They received a master's degree from Simmons University in August of 2019, and supervision occurred for 1,500 hours between September of 17 and August of 19 for 1,500 hours and was by a licensed individual. And I did not see any issue with the application.
Perfect. And I believe applicant number 20 is our last applicant. While I review this as the lead, fellow committee members would like to ensure that I haven't missed one since we were hopping around. That might be a really supportive thing to do. All right, Jamie Schneider is a board-certified behavior analyst as of February 9th, 2023. After graduating with a Master's of Arts in Special Education from Arizona State University in August of 2021. Supervision occurred in the state of Idaho from September of 2021 until December of 2022 for a total of 2,000 hours. Idaho does not require licensure as a behavior analyst. As a result, supervisors were not licensed, but this is not a concern per our statutes. The applicant is also a certified teacher in Idaho. This was supplied. There are no concerns with that credential. Seeing all of this information, I had no concerns with this application and would recommend it moves forward to the full board for potential approval. Okay. I believe that's a wrap on agenda item number 9. So as we look here, I believe we need another motion to move forward the applications as directed for 9A. Is there such a motion?
I move.
Is there a second?
Okay.
I'll second.
Perfect. Is there any discussion? All right. Seeing no discussion, all in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Okay. Motion carries to move forward these applications to the full board for review. Let me see what it is. All right, we will move on to agenda item number 10, which is discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the draft proposed language for issuance to BCBAs by the BACB. For agenda item number 10, Dr. Reitz, you will be so graciously requested to provide us a summary for the committee.
I would be happy to. As you already noted, Madam Chair, this was something that was on our last agenda. We met as a smaller group to revise the language and wanted to present it here today to the committee. If you scroll to page 2, you will see the finalized version. And again, this would be something that we would submit to the BACB and allow them to share. And the purpose was related to providing some clarification around the practice of behavior analysis here in the state.
Thank you. Do any members have questions for Dr. Rates related to this draft proposed language? Dr. Davey?
Yeah, just I read through it again last night, and Ms. Galvin, I'm guessing you were involved in some of the crafting of this. Is that correct?
You're muted, Ms. Galvin.
Yes, I'm pulling that up.
Fair enough. I just, when I read through it, you know, again, I don't want to be overreactive, but just wondering, like, in your take from that, is the language strong enough with regard to what the consequences are for this? Like, do we feel like it hits home? I guess the question is, like, does it convey the sense of urgency and personal responsibility that I think that many of us on this committee want to convey? And so I just wanted, as people read it, to see if that came across versus more of like a FYI on policy, which I understand that we have to be somewhat guarded in our language, but I also, you know, you end up here, you understand that there's a lot of passion behind the things we do. So I just was trying to strike that balance between, hey, here's a regulatory FYI versus something maybe with a little bit more heart. And I don't know if it's like, you know, adding a few words here or there, but I for one, am super in favor of it. I just wanted to make sure that we're going to have this chance to send it out. Like, you know, let's make sure it's a strong, strong statement.
And this is Jean, and I did not assist in this drafting.
So was it Ms. Packinen that worked with
that
this,
would be my guess, yes.
Ms. Reyes.
Yes, and it was.
And you're presenting it. Did you also get to help her? Did anybody from the committee help her with it, or was it just Ms. Packinen?
Yes, it was Dr. Stenhoff and I.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Reyes.
You want to talk to me just a little bit about the balance there? I know, I'm sure you guys had that conversation. I know that you feel as many of us, so maybe just enlighten me a little bit onto the conversation and how you landed where you guys did. Again, I'm not against this at all. I want to be clear. I just wanted to have a little conversation about it.
Yeah, I think the space that we tried to acknowledge sort of the importance of that would be down towards the bottom, the third paragraph from the bottom, which really just indicates that this is subject to disciplinary action by the board. And kind of referring to that, but I can appreciate wanting to be strong in our messaging to make sure that people are attending to this seriously.
Yeah, and I see that at the end. Like, I know that that's where it is, and I think it's like, it's such a nice statement, right? Oh, we want to raise awareness. Like, I think it was just like the terminology, and I get it. Like, we want people to read it, and you know, if I could have it across the top of like must read, urgent, you know, I think it's my own just personal issues. I am trying to put onto this letter, but I did appreciate it. I thought that it was, you know, it speaks to the board's statutes and rules and licensure requirements. I appreciated the hyperlinks. You know, I appreciated the piece around the ethics code as well, and with the standards listed out. And, you know, it's just as you get to it's like the last paragraph is where the failure comes into. And so I think that when I was trying to formulate what I might have said differently versus just coming in and making a general statement, just wondering if that first statement, that first sentence is, the purpose of this communication is to raise awareness with respect to Arizona's statutory requirements for practices of service delivery, including supervision. And then, and maybe that's where there's a statement to the effect of, like, you know, failure to recognize these statutes and rules. But it's almost like that paragraph, if it was up there, I feel like it would set the tone of, hey, I better read this, right? So I think that's, and I don't know if everybody feels that way, but I just, part of it is like, how do we convey that this is important? And, you know, maybe this just sending this is enough, but I don't think so. I don't think it's going to grab someone's eyes. Thank you for letting me comment on it.
I was actually going to make the same suggestion as you were speaking. I think perhaps taking that second to last paragraph and moving it up to the beginning might highlight the importance of reading all the way through. So I think if the committee is in agreement, we could certainly make that edit prior to sending it to the board.
Yeah, and I think we would also, if it was in agreement, just having Ms. Galvin give it the once over, you know, probably before it goes to the board to make sure she doesn't have any concerns with any of the statements.
Yeah, no, I've reviewed it and I think it's very clear. I like the distinction that they made that the licensure requirements are not identical to the certification requirements. They serve two different purposes, and that's right up front. I think it's an excellent job. I do think moving that paragraph failure to recognize up to the first paragraph would make it stronger, and I think it's an excellent statement.
Ms. Galvin, do we need to make a motion on this?
I think there's a consensus that if you accept it, make the referral to the board to approve it, and then with the condition that that second to last paragraph is moved to the top. And staff and I can communicate that to Heidi.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we will go ahead and move on to agenda item number 11. Before we do that, I guess I would like to say thank you to Dr. Stenhoff and Dr. Reitz and to Ms. Pakanon for the development of that. I too thought it was a very well articulated letter, and maybe I'm a softie, right? But I was like, ooh, all right.
Ooh, no, I just want to echo what you said. It's so much easier to be the editor than the creator. And so I want to pay respect to the authors there that took the time to put it out there so we could make a minor edit at best. In fact, it's literally a move of something they wrote. So thank you.
Agenda item number 11 is discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding recommendation to the board regarding the inactive license renewal application submitted by Amada Tro, and possible recommendation to open a complaint. Ms. Poe, will you please provide a summary of this matter for the committee?
Yes, Madam Chair and members of the committee. On March 13th, 2023, the board office received Ms. Tro's inactive license renewal application for her license expiration date of March 31st, 2023. Ms. Tro has had an inactive license since April 1st of 2019. So it appears she got licensed with us and then on her first renewal changed to inactive status and has remained so since then, and has not practiced but has maintained that inactive license here in Arizona. Ms. Tro answered yes to question number 6 of the application pertaining to unprofessional conduct. The question asks, since the last license period, have you had a professional license, certification, or registration refused, revoked, suspended, or restricted in any regulatory jurisdiction for reasons relating to unprofessional conduct? She answered yes to this question, and she provided an explanation that in 2021, the Behavior Analyst Certification Board revoked her BCBA certification. She provided some details and additional documentation that board staff requested regarding the revocation. Board staff did request from the BACB documentation as well, even though it appeared that Ms. Tro provided everything. But we had not received a response to date from the BCBA. So board staff requested additional information, which Ms. Tro has provided to us. In addition to her disclosing the revocation, there was some additional concerns board staff had once reviewing the documentation. It appeared her initial notice that she received from the BACB regarding complaint notification, it was not disclosed on her renewal 2 years ago, but she had received a notification at that time prior that there was an investigation that had been opened and was in process. So board staff did inquire why this was not disclosed 2 years ago. I guess there was, Ms. Tro said there was some confusion regarding the process and she didn't realize that she had needed to disclose that it was in process at the time. So that was one concern board staff had. Ms. Tro also holds additional licenses in the state of Florida, a couple licenses as a social worker and marriage and family therapist, as well as her behavior analyst license in Florida. It appeared it was just a error on her part that she did not disclose a couple of the licenses that she had. It didn't appear that she was trying to hide anything from us. So just as a side note, in addition, I do need to provide an update. Ms. Tro did attend what looked to be about 30 to 60 minutes of this meeting. She had notified me prior that she was going to be attending later in the meeting. That's why this agenda item is being heard last. Because she had some medical appointments scheduled that she could not reschedule. However, I guess she was confused about the time because she resides in Florida. So she did email me this morning at 8:30 and I provided a response that the meeting was starting at 9:30 Arizona time. So she did join for a portion of the meeting, but then emailed me that she had additional medical appointments and had to leave again and could not participate. And then I have uploaded to the committee Google folder the last two emails I received from her during the meeting, which were at 9:57 a.m. and 10:25 a.m. The last email I received from her says, let's see here, that she was in the hearing and it has caused a great deal of stress and anxiety due to current health issues. And she says she does not want to proceed. I would like my application for renewal of my inactive license to be withdrawn as I will not be able to use it in any way. And I do not plan to move to Arizona or be able to travel there due to my health. And then she goes on with some additional information that I'm not going to read in public session. Just thank you for your consideration and inconvenience. So it appears at this point now, Ms. Tro is asking that her renewal application be withdrawn. We will need to consult with Ms. Galvin regarding that. There's not a complaint that has been opened at this point, but should the committee feel that a complaint be opened, I'm uncertain if she would be allowed at this point to just withdraw her renewal application and let her license expire out, which would have expired March 31st. And that concludes my summary.
Yeah, I would appreciate the opportunity to discuss this with staff in more detail. But because of the concerns relating to possible omissions on her renewal application, it would be advisable at this time not to allow her to withdraw her application.
Thank you, Ms. Galvin.
Ms. Galvin, also, given that the BACB's registry still shows that as revoked, and that there is not an active BACB certificate via the portal that's available, when we were looking at this board staff, we found no We found no information that the BACB reinstated her, correct?
Dr. Davey, that is correct. They did give her the option of 2 years later, she could go through a process to reapply for certification, but at this time, the revocation is still in place.
Yeah, so I would just say I have some significant concerns that that revocation is still in place and that there are jurisdictions that are perhaps maybe not as diligent as this particular board that are offering licenses that are active at this particular point. So I, for one, under Ms. Galvin's guidance, would like, you know, not only for us to talk to board staff about this, but how do we do our due diligence to make sure that the other states that may not be aware of some of these situations are brought, you know, some awareness to this fact. Like, you know, it's pretty shocking to see some active licenses where, you know, based on the numbers that are included in the record or the suspension and the taking of the license by the BACB are pretty significant causes of concern under code of conduct. And it just is a little unnerving to see other active licenses that I would think would be under some potential threat because of those allegations.
And Dr. Davey and Madam Chair and committee members, board staff did inquire with her if she had notified these other boards of the revocation. And her response was that basically on license renewal, there are questions that are asked regarding that and that she would be disclosing those on license renewals as they came up. So these boards have not been previously notified, but that she had planned to list them as she did with her renewal application here.
Well, I'm not a legal expert, won't pretend to be one, but I'm guessing much like us, this is something that would have to be notified almost immediately that you were under subject of investigation and had a national certificate revoked. But you know, Ms. Galvin, I mean, we can move to executive session, or maybe we can just ask that you work with board staff and think about how we move this forward, you know, whether it's through the committee or whether the committee wants to, you know, let Ms. Galvin even present some of this information to the full board to move it along. But this is concerning. And then it's even more concerning to think that start to kind of listen to deliberations by this committee and the way that we look at things and view things and have the protection and the welfare of the state at our foremost actions, as well as a passion towards behavior analysis, and then decides that she does not wish to go forward. That is concerning as well.
And I will work with staff, and particularly in light of her most recent request to withdraw the application, but I will do that.
Thank you. And do we, Ms. Galvin, do we think of any other, when you talk to staff, like whatever other notifications you think are appropriate of who we might reach out to let know that this is occurring, to kind of perhaps circumvent application processes through this kind of material and these kinds of presentations, whatever you think is appropriate? I think, you know, you would have full support of this committee.
Okay, correct at the appropriate time, yes.
Thank you. So do we need a motion to table this and allow Ms. Galvin to do her due diligence?
Yeah, I think there's a consensus.
Okay.
Then we will move to agenda item number 12.
Madam Chair, this is Ms. Ho. I just have a staff clarification. So to clarify on agenda item 11, we are going to table the matter. It will not be forwarded to the May 5th board meeting. It will come back to the committee pending additional information from Ms. Galvin, correct?
Correct. And staff, yes.
Thank you.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Yeah, I just wanted to also note, I'm a little bit like concerned with the BACB's lack of response as well. I think that doesn't dismiss the other kind of concerns that Dr. Davey has raised, but I think this might be a really good opportunity to once again try to open up some kind of conversations or pathways to where we aren't getting this vague information of, hey, everything's confidential and we don't share it, and or no response. Like, that to me is concerning from a board that also has similar values of consumer protection, not being willing to be forthcoming. I shouldn't even say willing, that's probably inappropriate, not being able to, or not feeling like they're able to, whatever the circumstances be. But I think it needs to be a conversation. And I'm very concerned that with the vague information we do have before us, I'm not sure that the revocation would be something that we as a board would share similar disciplinary action with. Again, that's the very limited information that we have. But I'm also concerned because the basis of the revocation is a systemic issue that I have been literally talking about at every single meeting around, you know, caseload supervision and, you know, the RBT processes and the disconnect between the RBT and the accountability of the supervisor. And I bring all of that up because if this is going to be a precedence that the BACB is also going to take, I mean, that's a pretty substantial disciplinary action. Again, we have very little information because the BACB hasn't responded to our request for information. And that to me is also concerning.
Oh, now we move to agenda item number 12. And perhaps this is part of this, but nonetheless, agenda item number 12 is new agenda items for future meetings. Are there any new agenda items that committee members would like to see on future agendas?
Madam Chair. You know, as we kind of look at these meetings, today was, I think, 3.5-hour meeting, or 3-hour meeting, which is pretty good, you know, pretty solid on our part. I do think I'd like to ask that Ms. Pakkinen and staff, maybe, you know, we started this conversation last time, but maybe we can agendize a discussion of, you know, 2 shorter meetings during the month, the timing of that around, but, you know, obviously coinciding with board actions, you know, taking like today, you know, like blocked off till 2 p.m. because it's like I see complaints and I see different things and I don't know what exactly is going to happen or not happen, as many of us, I think, go through that. But it's getting harder and harder to block off entire full days for meetings. And so I just, if others are interested in maybe even looking at that, you know, it only requires a quorum where we could go through some of the applications, perhaps, you know, 20 of them. And even if we knocked out 10 of them and only had 10 more to take on the second meeting, maybe that makes our process a little bit more digestible. I don't know if others are feeling that way, but just thought I'd bring that to the as a possible item to discuss.
I support that. Dr. Davis-Wilson?
I would just add, because Ms. Pakkinen and Ms. Michelson are not here, they have expressed to us that would increase burden to them. And so I just want to make sure, as far as them meeting deadlines and prepping for the meetings and making sure that they're staffing for the meetings, there's that consideration as well. I don't disagree. I'm just, they're just not here to relay that. And so I know they've relayed it in the past, but I do think adding it as a separate agenda item so that we can start put our brain around it would be great. I also am going to formally request that my statements in the last agenda item maybe be memorialized here, as well as a potential request to either meet with the BACB or to have the BACB present on a subcommittee or some sort of correspondence, so that we can make sure, especially when there's cross-jurisdiction issues, when there are investigations, that there's some sort of pathway for everybody to kind of communicate, and or if that's not going to be the case, that's clearly articulated as well. Because I think it's going to, the more licensure and the more people are cross-licensed across jurisdictions, the more confusing I think this is going to get. And I think that I would at least appreciate the BACB's explanation at a minimum of what their role is going to be in helping with some of these concerns.
Yeah, I think maybe it's having Ms. Packin on, she's got a pretty good relationship with several people at the BACB. So maybe Dr. Davis Wilson, maybe having that conversation first before kind of going guns a blazing of come and talk to us. Like maybe we let a little bit of diplomatic behind the scenes work go and then see what Ms. Packinon recommends to us, if that's something you would be open to.
Yes, no, I think this is new territory. I don't think that this is I think that this is just starting to get more complex. And so I don't think that this is a situation of any one entity falling short or falling below or anything of that sort. I think that this is just, it's just going to continue to get more complex, and now might be the good time to start those conversations.
Mm-hmm. Any other agenda items for future agenda items? Okay, we will move. Well, before we move on to the next one, Ms. Malice, would you like to provide a final code word?
Hold on 1 second. Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, the next code word is Jaguar. Jaguar.
All right, we will move on to agenda item number 13. Agenda item 13 is adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion to adjourn.
Yeah. All right. So moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. The motion was made by Dr. Davis Wilson to adjourn the meeting. It was seconded by Dr. Rates. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we will take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All oppose? Nay. The motion carries. Hope everyone has a fantastic weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.